the Apostle Paul. So we'll read in Acts chapter 22, verse 24. The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, Yea. The chief captain answered, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, But I was freeborn. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. And on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty whereof he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priest and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. We'd like to think about verse number 28. The chief captain, his name Lysias, I believe is his name, so could have been a Syrian, a great possibility. So this man said, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, But I was freeborn. Or it could be said, as it was said in the original, I was one from birth. So as you think about this, maybe the Lord could help us to see how that Paul was a citizen of Rome by birth. The chief captain bought his citizenship. So as you think about that, this man paid a great sum of money that he might be in the family of the people or of the king that was in authority. You know, I believe that under the law that man would try to merit salvation and be in the family of God. Really, he's saying it like this. He's saying, the chief captain answered and said, With a great sum obtained I this citizenship. I became a citizen by buying my way into the Roman Empire. But Paul said, I was brought into the Roman Empire by birth. I was bought there, and history would say that Caesar Augustus, gave freedom to that little place called Tarsus where Paul was born. And therefore, through that freedom that was given by the emperor when Paul was born there, just like people that are born in the United States of America, if they are born here, they're declared to be citizens of this country. So you think about this now. This captain, Lysias by name, he paid a great price for this. How about Paul? Was there a great price paid for him? So I believe you could say this. For his Roman citizenship, he was a natural citizen. What would our natural citizenship be? We were a natural citizen of this world. But you know, if we're going to heaven, we're going to have a different citizenship, aren't we? I mean, by the Word of God, if I look in Ephesians chapter number 2, Paul said, You who were dead in trespasses and sin, We've been quickened. Where in the times past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So I was born a natural citizen of this world, just like Paul gained this freedom by birth as a Roman citizen. You know, though Paul was a Roman citizen, he wasn't a citizen of the kingdom of God, was he? He wasn't a citizen of that kingdom. Though it kept him from getting a scourging right here, it did not keep him from dying and going to hell, did it? So we must be born into the kingdom of God. With what price? With what price are we brought in to the kingdom of God? Paul said in the book of Corinthians chapter number 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says this to us, "For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So if we're in the kingdom of God, we've been bought with a price. And what did he buy? He not only bought my soul, he not only bought my spirit, he bought my body as well. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God. He dwells within you and I if we've been bought. But I say this, if you've been bought, you're no longer your own. You don't belong to yourself. So look at Paul and look at him as he is bought. You know, he's not under the rule and the reign of the Roman emperor as an alien, but as a citizen. The Jews, now you think about the picture that Lysias has got of Paul. Here is a man that everybody wants to kill him. Here is a man that looks like a slave. Here is a man that's been born a Jew. Here is a man that's under the authority and has no freedom being born a Jew. He doesn't look like a Roman citizen, does he? I mean, when you look at him, he looks like a man that without question, Lysias is going to bind him with thongs by what he sees. Now, you think about this. By his portrayal, by what he sees from the Apostle Paul, he takes him, brings him to the castle, binds him with thongs, and is getting ready to beat him. Paul has nothing outwardly that makes him look like he's a citizen of Rome, is there? He doesn't look like he's a free man. He doesn't look like that he's freeborn. He doesn't look as though he's a citizen of the Roman Empire. So I ask us today, do we look like we're children of God? Do we look like we're sons and daughters of God? You know, in one sense, we should. In another sense, we look just like everybody else, don't we? We look like all the children. When you go to work tomorrow, when you go to the grocery store, when you go to the schoolhouse, when you go to college, when you go to elementary school, when you go in your neighborhood, you look just like everybody else. But know this, that you have been bought. If you are a citizen of the kingdom of God, if you're a part of the family of God, you've been bought with a great price. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and spirit, in your spirit, which are God's. Chapter 7, Paul says this, verse number 22, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant." So can you see that? Just imagine this, that you are under the authority of the Roman government. If you're called in the Lord, you know what you are? You have a great freedom. But if you were a Roman and you had a great freeman, a great freedom, and you are called of the Lord, then you know what you are? You're a servant. So we're free, and yet we're a servant. Though Paul was a free man as far as Roman citizenship's concerned, he's a servant of God. Though a man could be a Jew and be a servant or a slave to the Romans, being called of God, he's God's free man, isn't he? So we've been bought with a great price. And that price, the Word of God says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you are bought with a price, be ye not servants of men. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. So who bought us? The Lord Jesus Christ bought us. Lysias says, with a great sum. How great was the sum of your freedom? How great was the price for you to no longer? Now think about the change. Peter says that we're strangers and pilgrims, right? We weren't. We were citizens. We were citizens of this world. We've been bought out of the slavery of this world, brought into, and bought by the Lord Jesus Christ into the kingdom of God. So Lysias began life as an alien and a stranger from the Roman Empire. Paul began life as a citizen of the Roman Empire. Lysias bought his citizenship with a great price. Paul was born with a citizenship to be a citizen of Rome. Look how they were both aliens. Lysias was an alien to Rome. He was a stranger and a pilgrim to Rome. Paul was an alien to the kingdom of God. But by the work and by the price that was paid through Jesus Christ, Paul is now an alien and a stranger who was a citizen. And you see that God brought us out of the world. We were citizens of this world. Maybe that's hard to see. We're no longer citizens of this world. I'm talking about eternally now. I'm going to be a citizen of this world until I die, right? But that's not all of the story. I've been bought with a price. My life now is hid away with Christ in God, right? So I'm no longer a citizen of this world, but my life is hid away with Christ and God. Peter said that we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. I am now an alien who walks beside people that are citizens. I hope we could see this. You know, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. John chapter number 1. How? Was it by birth? Was our spiritual freedom, our citizenship into the kingdom of God, was that by a natural heritage? It was not. Chapter 1 in the book of John, verse 13, which were born not of bloods, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So if you're brought into the family of God, it's not by your means. It's not by tracing your lineage to Abraham. It's not by the desire of your parents. It's not by the work of the flesh. It's not by working it out and buying it with money. Simon, you remember Simon? Simon said, give me that gift. Give me that Holy Ghost that you've got, that you can change the lives of people. Peter said, You're in the gall of bitterness. You think that the Holy Spirit of God can be bought with money? You know what you and I are? If you're saved today, you've been bought with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. You've been bought by the will of God. You've been bought by the grace and the mercy of God, not by the will of man, not by the will of the flesh, not by the works of man, but you've been brought in and been made in the family of God through the price, the great price, the great sum of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have we been made free in the family of God? So, not by the works of man. In the book of Ephesians, listen to what Paul says in chapter 2, verse number 9. We know this, that we were not bought with silver and gold. Peter says that. We were not brought in by corruptible seed. We've not been born into the family of God by our natural heritage. Abraham had two sons, didn't he? One of them was in the kingdom of God and one of them was not. Well, he was the son of Abraham. He should have been in the kingdom of God. Well, I would call your mind to this, that the birth of Isaac was only, absolutely only possible by the miraculous work of God Almighty. Is that not true? So it's not a natural birth. It must be by the miraculous work of God Almighty that you and I have been made and brought into the freedom and to be in the family of God. So Paul says this in Ephesians, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We're saved through faith, that not of yourselves." Is that not of yourselves? What's he talking about there? Faith. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves." I got to look right back in the sentence that is written. The faith is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. So faith is the gift of God, is it not? It is the gift of God, not of works. I'm not working it out. Lysias worked out his freedom. Paul did not work out his freedom. Paul had freedom given to him by a birth. Paul said, "I was born into it. I was brought into it by birth." You and I, if we're saved, if we're in the family of God, we were brought into the freedom and into the citizenship as a citizen of heaven, a citizen of the kingdom of God. We were brought there by a new birth. There's no other way to get in. Lysias bought it. He bought a Roman citizenship. Can you buy a heavenly citizenship? If all of us pooled all of our works together by the word of God, what did he call it? Filthy rags. If we bought all of our righteousness together, and it was plural, righteousnesses, together is filthy rags. So it cannot be bought. Our Lord told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born from above. Nicodemus, you've had a natural birth. You mean I have to enter back into my mother's womb? No, that's a natural birth. He's not talking about being born again of a natural birth. He's talking about being born again of a spiritual birth. How does that birth take place? Well, by the word of God, it must be by grace through faith. That a gift of God, not anything that I can boast in. Lysias said, I'm free and I bought and paid for it. I say this, if that's your way, if that's your testimony, that you have bought and paid for it, that you're going to heaven because of what your works are, you're going to heaven because of who you are, what you've done, the work that you've done, your faithfulness, know this, God will not accept your payment. Your payment will not... I say this. I don't know who you might deal with, but you know, sometimes if you're dealing with a debt, maybe it be a credit card, maybe it be a car payment, maybe it be a house payment, maybe it be something at the merchant. You know, you can get into the situation and they say this: if you pay, you can't make a partial payment. You've got to pay the full payment plus the interest, the late fee. If you're going to be clear and you're going to be free, you got to pay it all. I tell you this, friend, if we're going to heaven by works and by payment, you got to pay it all. You make no partial payment on this. God will not accept a partial payment. God has never accepted a partial payment. You can't partially pay. I'll tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ paid a full payment for my citizenship into the kingdom of God. He paid a payment with all charges, friend, past, present, and future. All that would ever be charged to my account has been paid for by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. With a great sum, Lysias said, I obtained this. Paul said, I was born in. How do we get in? According to Jesus, to Nicodemus, verse number 3, I say, except a man be born again, except a man be born again, he cannot see. We can't even comprehend. We're unable to comprehend the kingdom of God unless a man is born from above. Unless there is a spiritual revelation, we don't even see the need to be saved. I just say this for me. You had asked me before I got saved, am I going to heaven? Absolutely, I'm going. What did I base that on? I base that on looking at my life compared to everybody else living around me. That's what I based my believing that I was going to heaven. But Nicodemus is told by the Lord Jesus Christ, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He says in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So what is the means? I believe the means has been the same, honest to God, from Genesis 1. I believe from Genesis 1 to the last person that's ever saved on the face of the earth, it will be a work of God through the Word and through the Spirit. The earth was brought into existence, as Clark read to us. The earth was brought into existence by the work of the Trinity. I was brought into the family of God by the work of the Trinity. By the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, I was brought in. The Bible said this, and God said, and the Spirit moved. Abraham told his servant, Eleazar. There's the word. Eleazar is the spirit or the type and shadow. Where did he go? He went to get a bride. Did he get a bride? He got a bride. He got a bride for Abraham's son, Isaac. When Jesus was born into this world, how was he born into this world? By the Word and by the Spirit of God. It's the truth. You check your Bible. That's the way we were all brought into the family of God. We were born into it with a great price. Let's look in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 10. The Bible says this. I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. Then said he, speaking of the Lord, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So here's the great sum, folks. The offering of the body of Jesus Christ is what brought me in and paid the great sum that I could be a citizen of heaven. We're set apart, made holy, made a part of the family of God, set apart to be holy. So there is a, I believe you could say that sanctification is in two parts, that there is a sanctification that we're set apart by God to be a part of the family of God. And then there is an ongoing sanctification that takes place in the child, in the children of God. There is an ongoing sanctification that we become and look more and more like the one who sanctified us, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I sanctify myself that ye also may be sanctified. He set himself apart. He was holy. He was righteous. He was the Son of God. And he was set apart for the offering on the cross of Calvary for my sins and your sins, that you and I could be brought into the family of God. What a price was paid that you and I could be a citizen. What a price was paid. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but the Son of Man came to serve and to be a ransom, to be a ransom for many. What does that ransom bring? That ransom brings a freedom. That ransom frees me from sin. That ransom frees me from this world. That ransom frees me from being a child of the devil. That ransom frees me from my natural citizenship to this world and brings me through the price, the ransom that was paid by the Son of God. I'm brought into a new country, a new kingdom, a new family. I am in the family of God by the ransom, by the price that was paid by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Can you see what a sum, what a price was paid that you and I could be a part of the family of God? We were in bondage. We were children of the devil. We were tied to this world. Our only existence was going to end. Not completely, but our existence, our living was going to end when we drew our last breath on this earth. But you know, when I draw my last breath on this earth, that I will go and be present with the Lord in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, faster than you can blink your eyes. I'll move from this world, friend, to a new world. I've already done that. That's already happened to me spiritually. That's what I'd like for you to think about. I'd like for you to think about the great sum that you've been bought with. What a price that has been paid for you. So in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 18, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed, that word means to ransom. You are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation, your empty, fruitless life, your empty, fruitless behavior. You know, God made a change. God made a change in their life. We went from being fruitless and all of our works being fruits of death to being brought into the family of God, and now we have abiding fruit. Now we have fruit unto everlasting life. Now we are fruit producers that produce something besides vain fruit received by tradition from your fathers, but you have been bought with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained. You know what that word means? That means predestined. Jesus Christ was predestined. Well, that don't mean the same thing. It means the same thing, friend, when he talks about it being you and I or the Lamb of God. For who was verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these times for you. What happened? The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself a sacrifice, an offering on the cross, that you and I could be brought into the family of God by the price that he paid. What was the price? I hear it all over the house, his life. That was it, wasn't it? What value would you put on that? Lysias said, with a great sum. I bet he could put a value on that, don't you? I bet there was a monetary, I bet there was a number, I bet there was an amount of work, amount of days, amount of labor, I bet there was a dollar amount, I'm sure that there was somehow there was a price that could be named and that you could relate to it. But what was the price of your salvation? What was the price of your freedom? Could you put a value on that? Could you put a value on the life of the Son of God that was able, a friend, by His ransom and by His payment, to free you from every sin, every obligation, every fault, every failure, every place that you come short, past, present, and future, for everyone that will ever be saved? What price is that? Know this, for everyone that will ever be saved, He paid the same price. Dwight's salvation was not a different price than Larry's salvation. Thus, your salvation did not cost less to the Lord Jesus than this man or that lady. It was the full price of the Lamb of God. If you are saved tonight, it cost the Lord Jesus Christ all of His life. He shed His blood on the cross that you and I could be brought in to the family of God. Lysias said, with a great sum. I believe Paul could have said, with a great sum also. But Paul said, I was born into the family of God. I say this, I was born into the family of God, but it was with a great price. And the price was the blood of the Lamb of God. The price was the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll read with me just another verse over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who His own self, speaking about Jesus, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, I want you to know something, folks, though it'll be rejected and though it'll be spit out by many, who His own self bare our sins in His own body. Who is the word our? Who does that relate to? Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye... Who did He die for? Ye, our, ye, us. You'll find that throughout the Bible. Now, reason with me just a moment. When He prayed in the 17th chapter of John, He said, I don't pray for the world. Isn't that right? I pray for these that You gave Me. And I pray for those who will believe through their words. If He did not even pray for the world, did He die for the world? He died for the church, folks. What a price He has paid for His bride. You'll find that through the Bible too. Look at Jacob. How long did Jacob work for Rachel? 7 years and was cheated. Seven more, and they seemed to him as nothing. Can you see the picture that Jesus Christ looked and saw the bride? The 53rd chapter of Isaiah, He saw His seed. It pleased God to bruise him. It pleased God. It didn't please God to bruise him for rejectors. It didn't please God to bruise him for those that don't believe. It didn't please God to bruise him and die for those that will never accept him. It pleased God to bruise him because he saw his seed. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Now, I want to ask you something, friends. Do you think that it was a joy unto the Lord Jesus Christ to look out over all of the world and see that the majority of the world was going to reject him? Was that a joy? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. What was he seeing? What was the joy set before him? I tell you what the joy was. The bride. He was paying for the bride. He was paying for the church. He was paying that you and I could be brought into the family of God. That's what he was looking at. That's what brought joy. Friend, what joy that it must have brought to him. Well, listen in the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians chapter number 1, verse number 4. Here's this great sum. With a great sum obtained I this freedom, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and of our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What was the price? Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us. Who's delivered? Go with me, if you will. Go with me to Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. What we were... So we were brought out of slavery. We were brought out of sin. We were bought out of the world. We were bought from the devil. I don't mean that the wrong way, but I mean this, that we were under the rule and the reign and the control of the devil. And if you're unsaved, you're still under his control today. He's the strong man that we read of in the gospel. And it'll take a stronger one than him. He's a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. That's the devil. That's the picture. That's the condition of mankind without a Savior. But Jesus paid the price. And I say the greatest deliverance of all is he delivered us from the wrath of God. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Now he's speaking to the people at Thessalonica. He's speaking to them. And he's speaking to the church. Verse number 4. Knowing brethren, Paul and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, the church, brethren, our gospel came unto you. Followers, you became followers. Verse 6, that's not the world, that's the church. You became followers of us, that you were in samples. Is the world an ensample of Christ? The world is not an ensample of Christ. Verse number 10. To wait, you turn from God, from the idols to serve the living in God. The living God. You turn to the true God from idols to serve the living and true God. Listen to verse 10. To wait for his son. Is the world waiting for his son? The world is hoping that his son never comes. The world is hoping that the Son of God never comes. The world is hoping because if he comes, it's going to be judgment. If he comes, it's going to be the end. If he comes, it'll be coming with eternal fire. If he comes, it'll be coming with vengeance. Who's waiting on him to come? The church. To wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered, past tense, delivered us from the wrath to come. Can you see that? Can you see that, folks? Can you see the price that was given for your freedom? For you to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? For you to be a child of God and not a child of the devil? Who he has raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Turn over to chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, chapter 5, would you notice with me? Verse 1, brethren. Verse 2, yourselves. Verse 4, ye, brethren. Verse 5, all the children of light and of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. There's the world, folks. The night and darkness, that's the world. But would you notice, brethren, yourselves, ye brethren, verse 5, children of light, verse 8, who are of the day, for God hath not appointed us. Who's he talking to? That same group of people he's been talking to from chapter 1. That same group of people he's been talking to all through chapter 5. Unto us, God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is going to be saved? Who has had the price paid? The church. You that are saved, God paid a price for you to be in the kingdom of God. Right. Verse number, now listen. For God hath not appointed us. Brethren, ye, us, children of light, children of the day. He hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen now. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Who did He die for? Who was the price paid for? I told you before, God did not make him a promise and say, you're dying for this whole crowd. And we come down to the end of the way, and he got gypped, he got shorted. God had one plan, Jesus had another plan, and the Holy Ghost has got another plan. No, ma'am, and no, sir, you have been bought. If you are saved and born again, you've been bought with a great price. You've been bought with the ultimate price. You have been bought with the blood of the darling Lamb of God. You have been bought and been made free. You've been made a child of God. You've been made a citizen of heaven. You've been made into the family of God. You are no longer the children of darkness. You have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You've been translated out of the kingdom of the devil into the kingdom of His dear Son. You have been ransomed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been made free. We are no longer citizens, but we are strangers and pilgrims. We are aliens in this world. Can you see with a great sum you were born in to the family of God?
That's true.
You weren't born in without a price. You weren't made a citizen without a great sum. But you were born into the family and into the kingdom of God and away and free from the wrath of God through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that we're citizens of another country. I used to be a citizen of this world. But now, according to Peter, I am a stranger and a pilgrim to this world.